is absolutely wonderful to be here after what must be 3 or 4 years, I think. I've lost some of my hair, and I've gone greyer in the beard. And but you look just as young as last time I was here. I'm serious. But then I don't have a very good memory. And so this morning, we heard about Jesus in the synagogue, but also we went back to Isaiah, didn't we, where the beginning of that was. And those were incredible words, that he was proclaiming his mission to people. He was proclaiming his mission. This is why I'm here. But I just want to think back to just a few verses before that to put that into context. Because after Jesus was baptized, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon him. The dove came. And what words were heard? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I think sometimes before Jesus went out into the wilderness, before he started his mission, he heard those words. I am loved. God loves me. And we live in a world where there are many negative messages. I put something on Twitter recently, and suddenly I found so many negative messages from people I didn't have a clue who they were. And it can sap who we are. It can sap our love. And I think as we hear Jesus' words, as the Father has loved me, so I love you, now remain in my love. It's important, before we start looking at the problems of the world, that we hear those words, that we are loved. Okay? That Jesus totally loves us. And that when we do something wrong, we can go back to him, turn away from our sins or whatever, and he still loves us. And I want to thank you for the love that you've shown to me, but also to people around the world who you have not even met. Every year, you do something that makes a difference. What happened 5 weeks ago, approximately? It was Christmas. Seems a long time ago, but Christmas is coming. And about, I don't know about you, but I got some gifts, some lovely gifts. Because of my age, I got a teapot and some slippers from my wife. But I don't know what presents you got at Christmas. But I bet you got some really lovely presents. But because of what you've done, every year in May at Christian Aid Week, you have given a present to somebody around the world who you've not even met. And we're going to just hear about one of those people right now. And if your Christmas present was a cow, wouldn't that be amazing? But because of what you've done, every year, approximately 5 cows can be bought. The money you've raised can be like 5 cows worth every year. Now, I think you should perhaps shake each other's hands. Shake them if you want to. Or you could, if you're under a certain age, you could even give a high five. But just, congratulate each other. Say, well done. And because of all the churches that join in together around the UK, we can send so many things to people in desperate need. It was Mother Teresa who said, do little things with much love. And if it wasn't for you doing what you are doing, then people like Addy would still be in the same place. Now, 3 months ago, I had the privilege of going to Ethiopia and leading a team of about 8 people to go to some of the far remote areas of Ethiopia, some areas where they hadn't seen a white person before, and so it was really, well, they laughed when they saw me. I don't know if that was because I was white or whether they just thought I was funny. I looked funny. And While we were on that trip, we went to very remote areas along, it's like Top Gear, you know, four-wheel drives, loads of sandy roads going up and down, all sorts of places. But what we saw, particularly to the people I talked, was shocking. They cried, they wept, not in front of people, but when they got back to where we were staying, and their hearts were deeply moved. As they were talking about it, even recently, they would cry because of what they saw. But also the difference that people are making. So here's a whistle-stop tour of Ethiopia. Ethiopia, you'll remember from your Band-Aid days, has seen droughts over the last century. And 400,000 people have died because of extreme drought, just extreme drought. In some areas of Ethiopia, it can actually get up to 60 degrees centigrade at certain times of the year. And the majority of the droughts that we have seen have happened in the last 30 years. And we know because of the science, because of meteorological... help me here. Thank you. That the temperature is rising and that people are facing hotter days and hotter nights. They are seeing their harvest die, they are seeing their cattle die, and sadly they are seeing their families die at times. So we travelled over 2,500 kilometres and we met children who had to walk 6 hours to get water. Now, this is what they carried, a 25-litre bottle of water in the searing heat. And I'm going to ask you to see if you can lift that later. So, here we go. Next slide, please. This is Addis. This is the capital of Ethiopia. There is water rationing in parts of Addis still. When you think a capital city, could you imagine London, going to London and having water rationing? After we were there, we went into some four-wheel drives and we set off on our long journey. And this is just one of the four, well, two of the four-wheel drives. They broke down, the lights broke. It was pretty challenging. And next slide, please. This is the food that we ate. It's Endura, like a wrap with some meat sauce. And you just basically drop the wrap over the meat sauce, scoop it up with your hands and eat it. It can be quite spicy. I really enjoyed it. Some of the people who came with me didn't. And some of them, of course, had the usual stomach problems, as many of you will have experienced yourself. Actually, I did as well. It's a good way of losing weight. Well, I don't know if it's a good way, but it's effective. Next slide, please. We looked at this and we saw beautiful countryside. You know, don't you think it looks beautiful? Local people looked at it and saw land erosion. That where this had been flat because of the extreme weather, and also sometimes extreme floods, actually, but not here, then the land disappears. Next slide, please. This is in South Omo, one of the places that we met. If I just go like that, as opposed to saying next slide, that would probably work better. Sorry. this is a house, just a normal kind of hut that people live in. And slide. Everywhere we went, we were often welcomed by dancing. In fact, I was very disappointed that I didn't have the dance today from you people as I walked through the door. But if you still want to do that, then you can do that. But it was, even though people were facing extreme challenges, there was still a huge amount of joy in meeting us. And I did a little jig, but I certainly couldn't dance in the same way that they did. What we're doing in different communities is we are helping women, in particular, build stoves that need less firewood. Because firewood often is scarce in these kind of areas. And women or men, well, not men, actually, men we need to talk about later. But women and children will go and collect firewood and spend perhaps an hour or 2 hours just trying to find wood to build, to make a fire. And we're making fuel-efficient fires so that they need less firewood, which gives people more time to actually get on with their lives. Because if you spend an hour or two just to find wood for your fire, then that takes away time from your working day. Never mind looking for water. And so we have taught local people through our partners. We've given them molds, how to use mud or water or concrete to build fires, to build stoves. Now, this is somebody called Munty. And this is what she says. Thank you for coming to visit us. This was an interview. So far away across the ocean, although I don't think she really understood what ocean was. I had tears in my eyes when I saw you arrive. I was so happy. With the support you've given us, you feel like a bigger family. You've come to see us and ask questions. It might be the last time we see you, but thank you for coming. Not everyone accepts us. This is the women in the self-help group. But the activities we do in our self-help group, building the stoves, are changing things. We used to live in grass-roofed huts, but now we can live, some of us, in houses with masonry walls and metal roofs. Now, you might think, why would you have a metal roof in a scorching heat country? But it's because they don't need repairing so much. One big challenge is that water is not available for us. To make cooking stoves, you need water, and the rain doesn't come. But we shall try to keep going together. But without water, you can't live. Only God knows how we will survive if it gets worse. We're willing to work. I smile all day, except for when I'm sleeping. We love coming together because it generates more love. We used to think that the rain stopping and the weather getting hotter were because of our sin. Now, Ethiopia has had a Christian presence practically since the beginning of Jesus' times. And Ethiopia didn't have missionaries coming to tell them about Jesus, because Ethiopia, there was a community of believers, you know, really since the beginning, which is brilliant, isn't it? But it's not good that she thinks the weather stopping and the weather getting hotter is because of her sin. I asked her what she would say if she could speak to people or companies who are causing climate change. And this is what she said. You are the most dangerous men in the world. How can you call yourself human? If you have a family and you know that there are other families who are suffering and dying because of what you are doing, and you keep doing it anyway, then I don't think you can call yourself human anymore. Now, when I heard that, it really affected my heart, because, of course, I am somebody who is driving around in my car. We had to fly to Ethiopia. And so the reality is, if we live in this country, we live in the top 20% of the richest people in the world. And so, yes, so that was upsetting to hear. Now, let's move on to the next slide. This is the stove. It's very basic, isn't it? But it has a big impact, and that is a coffee kettle. Ethiopia, well known for its coffee. I drank huge amounts of it, and it's very strong. It can take an hour of coffee-making ceremony to get going. But people can cook food on this stove, they can do all sorts of things, and it's making a real difference, thanks to you. This is what they cook the flatbread that you saw originally on. We also asked the men what they thought. Now, the reality is that the men are not as active in terms of work as the women, usually. And so we asked them what they thought, because the men actually still have the power in the village. And they said that they thought it was a very good thing that the women were doing this. Because, of course, first of all, it's a source of income for people living in poverty. They can sell the stoves to the local community and also in the markets. And the men are actually looking after the children while the women sometimes do that, which is amazing in some ways. But the men also look after the cattle. But the cattle are very thin and very different and actually need less work. Unless, of course, it's a Christian Aid cow, in which case we look after them and we provide lots of support in relation to that. Next slide. One of the things that you might be surprised is that lots of people have mobile phones. Now, it's hardly your latest iPhone, is it? But people still need to communicate with each other. And we have given out mobile phones to people so that we can actually communicate to say, a drought is coming. Now is the time to put your seeds in the ground. Now is the best time. The rains are coming. So that we can advise them about how to actually make sure that what they're doing is more effective. But also we can say, we're coming today, please be around. And this is a solar power hut that we've created, that in this very remote village, which still has a signal. Yeah, better than Norfolk, isn't it? That they can charge their phones. Okay, next slide. So on we went through... It doesn't look as bad as it is, actually. This is just after the rainy season, though. So this is just after the rainy season, and this was a very long trip. It took about 12 hours in one day to get through, and lots of the people with us were very dehydrated and feeling faint, even though we tried to pour water down their throats at every opportunity. So next slide. This is a river. Bearing in mind this is just after the rainy season, you can see how dry it is. Next slide. And this are people coming to get water, because water is one of the most desperate needed resources in the area. And you'll see children as young as perhaps 8 carrying water. They will walk 3 hours in the searing heat to the water point, and they will walk 3 hours back. Now, can I have a few volunteers? Doesn't matter what age, as long as your back is okay. Yeah, what's your name?
Harry.
Yeah. Okay, Harry. What's your name?
Jacob.
Harry, do you want to stay there?
Yeah.
Jacob, do you want to go to that white line?
Sorry, that's what's
my
brother.
Good. What's your name?
Ben.
Ben, do you want to stand on this line? Okay, Harry. I might help you if necessary. Right, do you want to see how far we can carry this?
Yes.
To your brother. Can we have another adult, actually?
I can't even lift it.
Well, I'll tell you what, can we get somebody to help? Somebody who's got a good back?
Reasonable.
Okay. Do you want to both carry it together?
I'll get my hands in there.
Here we go.
No, that way, sorry. That way. Oh, sorry. Oh, I'm from Norwich. What do you expect? Okay. Would you like to bring it back? Wow. Very strong. Okay, do you want to try? Do you want me to give it a hand? I'll tell you what. Should we put it down there? Let's just leave it there. Round of applause for all these wonderful... Thank you very much. If you want to divide these up between three, then... Because you should be able to just divide it. You can do that later if you like. But you see how heavy that is. Now, if it takes 6 hours in total just to get that water, and I don't know how many bottles of that it would take to fill my bath at home. 4? 5? I don't have a luxury bath. But that would take maybe a 10-year-old child 24 hours to fill my bath. Just to fill my bath. And yet, what do I do at home? Turn the taps on, and then within a few minutes, water is there. We live, in some ways, we live in luxury, don't we? And I'd suggest you do try and lift that at the end, as long as you don't have a bad back. I guess 6 miles, 3 hours maybe to Yarmouth, 3 hours back if you were walking, I don't know, maybe further than that, in searing heat. Okay, next. Now, on the way, we visited various initiatives. This is a barn. People in this area didn't know how to build barns. It's just that knowledge was not there. And so when the crops are grown, then they can store them in this barn. Next slide. So it's very simple, a very simple idea. And the local community builds the barn and maintain the barn. We help. And they can keep, trying to think of the word, hay, stuff to feed the animals when it does become drought conditions again. Next slide. Now, this is a water reservoir. There are about 250,000 litres underneath this. And it acts like a swimming pool, not to swim in. But when the rain comes down, then it falls into that square at the back, and there are plug holes, and the water trickles down into the reservoir underneath, so that when the drought conditions come, people can then pump the water out, and so they can have water. And you can see the canisters at the bottom. This is a Christian Aid branded pump. I think somebody probably put the Christian Aid thing on just before we arrived. But again, this is run and maintained by the local village. And so that we train the village how to maintain it, or else they would have to fly somebody out. We spent 3 days driving just to get to this place, ultimately. So it's important that we teach people how to maintain these things. Water of life. Next slide. You can see the canisters that are lined up. This is in a different area to that one before, but people had to still walk 6 hours to get that water. We also have built reservoirs so that water from the river can go down a reservoir and feed the crops. Let's keep going. You can see what a difference it can make. Now, this is somebody that we interviewed. A babo. This is what she said. I have 8 children, 4 girls and 4 boys. I have a lot of water to carry. I used to travel long distances to get water from high mountains. The difference is now that they've got the water pump, children can take water nearby. It's clean. Whereas before, there used to be a lot of waterborne diseases. And now I get as much water as I would like. I work on a farm. I am working a lot of the time. I can improve my income to my household. I can improve my health. And I can buy seeds and cabbages and grow them. All my children now go to school. See what a difference having a water pump makes? It's not just about drinking water. Excellent. Well done. School can change people's lives. So her children can go to school. But also she said, I am now going to school. And she is studying herself. Water improves life for the whole household. If you imagine how long it would take to collect enough water for a household and firewood, you don't have time to do much else like growing your crops. She's a committee member of the group that keep the water project going. And they ask for just a small subscription, a monthly subscription, that people have to give so that they can buy things to keep it going. She said that the seasons are changing. Now, we don't prompt people to say these things. We just say, tell us about the weather. What is life like for you? And she said this. We thought the changing seasons were only here, but we've heard it's all around the world. We have less rain. We have more pests on our crops. The sun is becoming hotter and hotter. We are trying to make the best of this. We have seen our cattle die. We have seen our crops fail. And at times we have seen our children die. We are praying for you. This is the message that she sent back. Because I asked her, if there was a message to send back to people, what would you say? She said, we are praying for you. Thank you for your support. Now we are praying for people in power to consider us. Could they please care for our children? Could they please care for us? These are our brothers and sisters. You know, every time we passed a church, they prayed for that church. So when we were in the car and we were with the Ethiopian people, they would pray for that church that they passed. They pray for us. They thank you for doing what you do. Jesus says this, I have molded you in the depths of the earth and knitted you together in your mother's womb. I have carved you in the palms of my hand and hidden you in the shadow of my embrace. I look at you with tenderness and care for you with a care more intimate than that of a mother for her child. I've counted every hair on your head. I guide you at every step. Wherever you go, I go with you, and wherever you rest, I keep watch. I don't hide my face from you. You know me as your own, as I know my own. Nothing will ever separate us. We are one. Just as we are so valuable to God the Father, so every individual in Ethiopia is valuable to him. I do want to thank you for the difference that you make every year to people like Addis, like people like the people we have heard about. Because what you're doing is making a huge difference. It genuinely is. You are saving lives. And without your gifts, we could not do that. We are one with our brothers and sisters. Amen.